evening. Scripture reading for this evening's lesson will be read from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. For those of you reading from the Bibles from underneath the benches, that's page 859. Again, that's Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Good evening. So good to see you tonight. Happy that you're here. I thought I recognized the voice over there. So good to see you tonight. Delighted that you come our way. I know we have visitors with us this evening, and it's always a special thrill to have visitors come our way. And sometimes you know folks here already, your family members, or you just stop in from the community. We want to let you know that you're certainly always welcome. This past Friday, we celebrated an American holiday that card companies and candy stores absolutely delight in, Valentine's Day. I remember as a kid, grade school, when it came time to pass out cards and candy, one year in particular, I remember getting a Valentine's card from the prettiest girl in the class. And on that card, it said, "Be my Valentine." I got excited. My heart fluttered just a little bit. And then I got to investigating if she really meant it. Her response was, "I ran out of the generic cards, and that's all I had left." She didn't really want me to be her Valentine. As you can tell, it crushed me. And I've been scarred for many years as a result of that. Her loss, right? Kidding. Spiritually speaking, yeah. Spiritually speaking, I think it would be good for us to realize, folks, that God wants us to be His. God wants us to belong to Him. That ever so popular passage, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." God's love is enormous. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But God does love us. He loves us. He loves us more than I think what we realize. Tonight I want us to explore some points surrounding this very topic tonight, "Be Mine." First of all, I would suggest to you that God wants us to be His because, indeed, He does love us. He does love us. Now, I realize when you talk about that word love and it's thrown around on a day like Valentine's Day, it's different than what it means when we're talking about God's love. The Greek word used for love between sexes, a man and a woman, is eros. That Greek word is not found in the New Testament. Another Greek word is phileo. Now, phileo, it depicts a warm and intimate love of a tender relationship. This, again, though, is not the highest form of love that we see in the Bible. This kind of love, it can grow cold. Another word for love, Greek word for love, is storge. It depicts a love between family members. A parent has for a child, or a child has for a parent. But then there's another Greek word, agape. It is a love that has been said, folks, to have been born in the bosom of Christianity. And the reason for this is because this form of love is so foreign from the world, the way that the world loves. It is a radical kind of love. It is way out of the box when we think about what love is and how it behaves. give you an example of this tonight. You have your Bibles. You can turn there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Listen to what Jesus shares with us here with that Sermon on the Mount. This basically, this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, if you would, is the way I've kind of looked at it is he's given his disciples an orientation on how to be like him. This is what it's like to be like me. And in Matthew in chapter 5, I'll begin in verse 43. Listen to what he says. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Is that the way you feel when people treat you that way? You just want to love all over them. You want to love them. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. You need to love them. He says that you'll be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. What is Jesus illustrating for us? He's illustrating the very fact that God's love is not partial towards any person or a group of people. He loves everyone. He loves everybody. He takes care of everybody. "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" As was emphasized tonight in our prayer about, and Dale had it, I thought, worded this well, with regard to us Christians. Let the world see something different in us, about us, that will attract them to us, to the Lord, you see. And Jesus is saying your calling card is love, is love. Then he goes on and he says, "Therefore," in verse 48, "you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." You get your cue from God on how to be like God. Someone may look at this and say, "Well, that's just not real, Scott. That's just unimaginable for a person to be able to love like that." Friends, I want you to know that's just how much God loves us. I want you to consider in Paul's letter to those saints there in Ephesus, in Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 17, listen carefully to what Paul is saying here with regards to encouraging them and exhorting and building them up to be transformed in their mind, in their body, in their spirit, to be like the Lord. Listen to what he says here in verse 17. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, look at this, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. His love is so enormous, Paul is saying, that it really, it blows the mind. It's really hard for us to wrap our minds around it and get a good firm grip on it. But that's how much God loves you, he says. If you just understood the width, the depth, the length, the height of God's love, it is enormous. God says, "I love you, and I want you to be mine because I love you that much. Be mine because I'll sacrifice myself for you. I'll give myself freely for you." You know, it has been said that love is an action, not just a feeling. Love involves more than just saying so. It is demonstrated by what we do. Guys, when you were in the dating scene and you were trying to prove to that significant other in your life that she needed to certainly take a chance on you. I would say that you made some pretty tremendous sacrifices to do that. You proved to her time and time again that you're willing to give yourself up to gain her love, to gain her support, to convince her she needed to invest in you. And I've joked about this before, but it was serious at that time when Kathy and I were dating. My mom had ordered me an Elvis Presley blanket. I'm a big Elvis fan. From Finger Hut. And I love that blanket. And I remember when we were dating, I told her, I said, I love you so much, I'd lay my Elvis blanket in a puddle of mud so you could walk across it, you know? But we were trying to convince our significant other just how much we loved them. And we certainly would do anything to make any sacrifices that we possibly could to convince them of that. Are we still making those sacrifices today? Are we still making those sacrifices today? I'm reminded of a boy that wrote a love letter, a romantic letter to his girlfriend. And in this letter, he told her how much he loved her and how much he wanted to be with her. And he had plans on being with her very soon. And he told her in this letter, darling, I would swim the deepest ocean. I would climb the highest mountain. I would run through the thickest jungle to be with you. That's how much I love you. Love, John. P.S. Oh, by the way, if it's raining tomorrow, I won't be over. It sounded pretty. It sounded neat. But the truth of the matter is, he just wasn't as committed as what he thought he was. Some folks are like that. Sometimes some Christians are like that. It's just in word only. You remember, John was talking about this in 1 John, in chapter 3. He mentions here, when he's talking about God's love, and I want us to go back, and I want us to catch a glimpse of this in verse 10. He says this. He says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Practices righteousness. If you don't practice righteousness, he says you're not of God. Don't just fake it, but be genuine. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as, here's a popular character we've been studying on Sunday mornings, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, John asks the question, how does the love of God abide in him? Brethren, it goes farther and it's much deeper than just saying I love you. It involves sacrifice. it involves being there. It involves just listening at times. It involves rolling up our sleeves and getting to work. Oh, there's so much more than just empty words. There in verse 18, John says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but indeed in truth." Don't just tell me you love me. Show me you love me. Love involves a sacrifice. God says, "I love you." Jesus loves us. I'm willing to give myself for you. To be His means I have something to teach you. I have something I want to teach you. Guys, it takes a big man to admit what I'm about ready to say, and I'm not ashamed of it. I have learned so much from my wife. I still think to this day and believe in my heart of hearts she married me out of pity. If you would have seen me back in the 80s, you would agree with that. I would have gotten a whole chorus of amens. When she saw me, I had this ratty-tatty t-shirt on. I had these big baggy sweats with paint stains on them and boat shoes. You all know what boat shoes are, right? You've seen the boat shoes. And to just let the world know how proud I was of myself, my varicose veins would just shine as the bright as the sun is in the daytime. I just have varicose veins, and I thought, looking back, I thought she had to marry me out of pity. Or her major was social work. And there's times I think she married me because she had a project she was working on to reform me. She succeeded somewhat, but not totally and altogether. But I realize a macho man might be sitting out here tonight, and he might be saying to himself, "My wife has not taught me anything. If anything, I've learned her a few things or so, or two." So, guys, I need to remind you, please listen carefully to what I'm saying. I need to remind you of why Eve was brought to Adam. You remember in Genesis in chapter 2, verse 18, Eve was brought to Adam to become a suitable helper. The word helper in the Hebrew conveys the idea or the concept of one who helps another reach their fulfillment. Let me break it down for you guys. God gave her to me to help me be all the man that God wants me to be. That's why. That's why. When I think about God wanting us, the scripture reading that Tony read for us tonight, in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 and following, Christ wants me to come to Him because He's got to teach me something. He wants to teach me something. Listen carefully again to what He says here. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." Anybody need any rest? He goes on and he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me, Jesus says. Learn from me. Yoke yourself to me. I've got to teach you something. Jesus invites us to come. God wants us to come. Why? He wants us to learn from Him. Learn what? Learn how to be the man, to be that woman that God wants us to be. To be the Christian that God wants us to be. come to Him. Be mine, God says, because I have something to give you. There are so many wonderful blessings of having a loving relationship that exists between a man and a woman. Each partner has something to give another. And that gift giving is very vast. They give love, they give support, they give encouragement, and all those enduring qualities that make a marriage, that make a relationship strong. They will willfully give their own lives for the other. Friends, that is what God has done for us. That is what Jesus has done for us. He has given His very own life for you and for me. But what makes His love so extraordinary is not the fact that Jesus, that He died, but He died for the ungodly. Those who were enemies of the cross. You remember back there in Romans chapter 5, as Paul expresses to these Christians at this particular time, beginning in verse 6, he says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still," get this, "we were still sinners." There's nothing good about us. He said, "You're ungodly. You were sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than, having now been justified by His blood," that word justified. You know a good easy way to remember that word? Justified. Just as if I've never sinned. When I take on His blood, it's just as if I've never sinned. "We shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved through His life. And not only that, but that we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we might have received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as one man sin entered into the world, death reigned through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." And then Paul goes on and he talks about, yes, that free gift coming through Jesus Christ to all those who will accept that offering, that blood, that justification through His blood. You see, that's what makes His love, agape, more powerful than any other form of love in the modern language. The very thing that God offers us through Jesus' death is everlasting life. And as Paul illustrated that for us in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 9, we are saved. We are saved from wrath. We are saved from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus declared in John chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Of course, Jesus would declare in the book of Mark, in chapter 16 and verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." God has something to give you. And I promise you, it is grander and greater than anything that any man can give you. Eternal life. Will you be His? He loves you. Will you be His? He's made the ultimate sacrifice. Will you be His? He's got some things He needs to teach you. Will you be His? He wants to give you everlasting life. The decision is obviously yours. What will you do with it? Some will spurn and some will put off the invitation. Maybe telling ourselves some other day, some other time. None of us are granted tomorrow, folks. All we have is right now. That's it. That's all we've got. If you've not made your soul right with God, please do that before you walk out those double doors tonight. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to God. Maybe you have done that, and maybe you've strayed away from a relationship, from a walk that God intended you to walk. And you want to come back. You want to return. If you feel you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward. Together we stand and we sing.